people who didn't know anatomy.
Right. So this is a case of anatomy. Well, yesterday, on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, on the top, the Gemara has an entire sugya that deals with a case where he has two pieces of meat in the same receptacle and he salts both of them. And the Gemara also has a case where he has a kosher piece of fish together with a non-kosher piece of fish. He has a kosher piece of meat with a non-kosher piece of meat. One was salted, one wasn't salted. There are so many variations that the Gemara goes through.
You said Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, but it was Kuf Yud Bet Amud Bet, no? The salting fish and chicken?
We had various sugyas on the top here.
I see.
Kuf Yud Gimel, yeah, if you take a look. I mean, if you want to hear a chazara on yesterday's shiur, if you have the time.
No, I'm just making sure I got the correct page.
I have it online. It's hard to hear it. I would love you to tell me if you could hear it, because we were in the basement just downstairs. We didn't have access to this room. In any event, then we had yesterday a whole discussion about the sheet of Rava. Rava thinks that that there's something called tzir, and even if the meat is being salted, let's say the kosher meat, and therefore it's tarud liflot, it's in the process of spitting forth its dam. Nevertheless, it still could be bolea if it's tzir. So that was the sheet of rubber that we dealt with yesterday. Today, we're going to begin in Yitz Hashem with Shmuel, Amar Shmuel. So let's see where the place is. It's here on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and it's probably, I would say, close to the middle of the Amud. You may see Shmuel's name as the first word in the line, Amar Shmuel, if you find such a thing. It's a little bit above Tosis Dira Maskel Ella. I don't know if that helps you.
I see it. Thank you.
See it. Okay. Now Shmuel is going to give us the guidelines and the dinim that apply to melicha, which means salting meat to get out its blood, and what's called hadacha. Hadacha means you have to rinse off the salt, or perhaps even rinse off the meat. And we'll see the various nuances in Ritz Hashem as we go through the Gemara. Amar Shmuel, Ein habasar yotze midei damo, ela im kein molcho yafe yafe. So the first requirement is that we do a serious malicha. You have to salt it very well, and we're going to see what that means. For example, you may have thicker salt, you may have thinner salt, which are more advantageous. But in any event, Shmuel says that you have to do a good job here. That's the general statement of Shmuel. Now, you should make the following note. How much salt do you spread over the meat? So the point that we want to make here, which is based on the Rush, is that he has to cover the entire piece of meat. If any part of the meat remains uncovered, then the melicha is not going to get to that part of the meat and remove its blood. So that could be what Shmuel has in mind when he says yafa yafa, that he has to make sure that the salt spreads out the entire piece of meat. There's no part of the meat that's untouched by the salt. But the Rashba has a different shot, and he thinks that yafa yafa means that you have to get to the point where you cannot eat the meat. It's inedible. It's been salted so strongly that it's inedible. And according to the Rashba, once you get to that point that the meat becomes inedible because of the amount of salt, then we know that the salt has done its diligence and it has drained the basar of all its blood. And in Yoredeya we're going to learn that this applies even if he salted it only on one side of the meat. He doesn't have to turn over the meat afterwards and salt the other side. Now what we're going to see later in Mirtz Hashem, I hope that we'll get to Yoredeya, is that the minimum amount of time that the salt should be left on the meat is 18 minutes. But Lechatchili should leave it as long as an hour. And that's going to be the amount of time it takes for the salt to drain the meat of all its, to be maflit all its dam. Now, we've only gotten halfway through Shmuel. The second half of Shmuel is Umeidicho Yofa Yofa. He has to rinse it very well. So again, the salting was able to drain the meat of all its blood, but now the salt, which is stuck to the meat, is fully saturated with blood. So we got to get rid of that salt. Do you follow?
Yeah.
Okay. And although, you know, you can assume that most of the dam went through the holes of the vessel, right? We're going to speak about what's called a kli menukov. Shmuel is going to require that that there shouldn't be a backlog, a clogging of dam, but rather the dam should flow out of these holes. But nevertheless, a certain percentage of the dam still is attached to the meat surface because of the absorption of the salt. So, for example, in Shulchan Aruch, we're going to ask the following question. The Mechaber wants to address what happens if he salted the meat and he left it there for as long as he has to leave it there, and instead of rinsing off the salt, he cooked the meat together with the salt. And in that case, we're going to say that the meat is now bolea, the dam, chazara, back from the salt, in this case into the meat, if he cooks the meat with the salt. And that's why Shmuel emphasizes the fact that he has to be madicho yofi yofi. He has to do a really thorough job to rinse off all the salt, because the salt, as we said before, was bolea the dam. The Rosh has a slightly different take on what it means madicho yofi yofi, to rinse it very well. And he says the following: the basar needs hadacha either inside a kli, or he holds the meat in his hands. And in Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya, it seems that the Shach is of the opinion that you should actually wash twice. Number one, you should wash to remove the salt, which has the absorption of blood. And then he wants to rinse it a second time around in order to wash away the water that may have accumulated and might be tainted with some blood and salt. This is very reminiscent, in my mind at least, of Netilas Yadayim, that let's say you're about to break bread. So first you wash your hands, but if you only wash it once, the Gemara says there's still some water that is attached to your hands and is tummy, so you rinse it a second time to get rid of the first water. In this sense, there's a similar kind of idea in the Shach. I'm not trying to compare them, that the first rinsing will remove the salt, but yet there's still some water that has the absorption of the dam in it that's on the surface of the blood of the meat, and therefore he requires a second washing of the meat. Now, the Hagos Ashri wants to wash it a third time. He says he wants to get rid of the second washing, so some residue of water from the second washing, because that too might still have a little bit of dam left in it. And this is what it means when Shmuel says, Meidicho Yofa Yofa, that he has to rinse it off very, very well. And now the Gemara is going to ask a kasha. Itmar. We have a sugya in the Beis Medrash of Rav Huna. And Rav Huna says that not only do you have to rinse the meat after you've salted it, at the completion of the process of salting, but even mitchila, before he starts the process, He says, Molech Umediach. No, I'm sorry. So I'm jumping ahead of myself. For Masnisatana, in the Brisa we learn, Mediach Molech Umediach. So Rav Huna really reiterates what we saw in Shmuel, which means that we rinse off the meat after the Malicha. But in a Brisa it says that there are two Hadachos. There's Mediach HaSabasar, a first Hadacha, then Malicha, then he salts the meat, Umediach, and then he rinses off the salt. So let's just stop for a moment and ask the following question. Why would the Brisa require a Hadacha to rinse off the meat before you even start in the process of Malicha? And here we have the Me'iri. The Me'iri says that we want to soften the meat. It's a lot easier for the salt to achieve its goal and drain the meat of its dam if the meat is soft. So the first Hadach is meant to soften the meat. That's called, in the language of the Me'iri, Lerachech es habasar ulachshiro lemalicha. So that's one view of the Me'iri. The Mardechai has a different take on this. He says that Docha Rishona, the first rinsing, is kdei lahavir lichluch adam me'ala chaticha. In other words, the dam is already forming and perhaps even coagulating on the surface of the meat even before he starts the malicha, and he wants to get rid of that he calls it lichluch, you know, kind of like filth or dirt of dam that's on top of the chaticha. And if he doesn't do so, then what is going to happen is that the salt, which has a maximum saturation power, is going to be saturated with the dam that's on the surface of the meat. And our purpose in Malicha is to remove the dam that's balua, that's saturated inside the meat. And once the melach, the salt, has been used and would automatically, absorb, suck up the dam that's on the surface level, what we call the lichluch hadam sha'ala chaticha, then it's mismale, it's now becomes full with that dam, and it won't be motzi the dam that's inside the chaticha's basar. However, we have a third view, and that's the smag and the ritva. They're of the opinion that if he doesn't rinse it off first, if he puts the salt on top of the piece of meat which has dam on it, and the dam is what's called be'en, it's dam that you could actually see with your eyes, then the melech, the salt, is going to have the exact opposite effect that we want it to have. Instead of drawing and draining forth the dam, on the contrary, it's going to cause the dam to go back into the chaticha. It's mavliya the dam into the chaticha. And therefore it's critical before you start the salting process, says the Ritva, to get rid of that surface level of dam by rinsing out the basar. Now, if we don't have enough interpretations as to why you need the first hadacha, which we gave three already, take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah, who has a fourth interpretation. And he says that the reason for the first hadacha and the significance of removing dam on the surface of the meat is such that if you don't do so, if you don't either rinse off the meat from its dam, or he says even better would be to soak the meat in water before the hadacha, that's called shriya, to let it soak, then you're not going to accomplish a number of goals. First of all, he says, you're not going to accomplish the goal that we mentioned in the name of the Me'iri, to soften the meat. Secondly, he says, you're not going to accomplish the goal of getting rid of that surface level of dam. And thirdly, he says that as a result of soaking the meat, the salt itself has more of a power. And he says it's more noach, it's more, shall we say, easy, lifloat as domo, that the Malicha will be successful to be polite as Dhamma. And the Shach says that there may be differences here in Halacha between these various explanations for the first Hadacha.
Wait a minute. What I understand from the Rabbi Yonah, it's not that he gives a different reason, he just says you really should soak it as opposed
right,
to...
Right, right, right. But okay. He integrates a lot of the different reasons that we saw earlier. And when he lauds, you know, this process of the original rinsing, the first rinsing. Now the Shach says that according to the Meiri, and even according to the Mordechai, if he would mistakenly cook the meat without Hadacha, then you'd have a very, very serious problem. However, the Shach claims that Im ta umolach below Hadacha, Rishoni yochul ladiach ata v'lach sor v'limloach. According to the Meiri and the who's worried about softening the basar, and according to the Mordechai who's worried about the lichluch adam she'alach haticha, you could go through a second process of malicha. Forget the first malicha; that was invalid because he had not proceeded. He didn't start with a Hadacha. But what he could do is he could start the process from scratch and now rinse off the meat and salt it a second time, and that's going to replace the invalid salting on the first time. However, if you go to Smak and the Ritva, he says, Ein lebasar ze takana. Why? Because according to the Ritva, the melach is going to be mavlia the dam that's on the surface into the meat itself. And that dam, because it was outside of the meat and now it goes back in, will not be subject, you would not be able to successfully get rid of that dam through malicha. The dam is eino chozer v'niflat. This reminds me, again, I don't want to make comparisons, so we had the sugya earlier of the chicken and the fish that was salted simultaneously. We had a real problem in getting the dam of the chicken, once it was nivla, once it was absorbed by the fish, to get it out through a process of malicha. Do you remember that we spoke about malicha as being meaningful for the natural dam, but not for dam that came in makom acher? In this case, although the dam is on top of the basar, so really is the dam of the basar, nevertheless it's already been poresh min habasar, and if it goes back into the basar, then there's no possibility of successfully getting rid of the dam through the process of malicha. So these are some of the various dimensions in Shulchan Aruch of how to achieve a successful malicha. Now, the Brisa insists that you have to start with Hadacha, and then following the malicha, you need a second Hadacha. But if you look at Shmuel, and if you look at Rav Huna, neither of them mention the first Hadacha. They only mention, after malicha, the second Hadacha. So the Gemara asks the question, is there a machlokes now between the Brisa and Shmuel, the Brisa and Rav Huna? The Gemara says, lo pligi. There's no machlokas here between Shmuel and Rav Huna on the one hand and the Braisa on the other hand. Ha, dechalale bei tabacha. The case that Shmuel and Rav Huna were addressing was the case where they already had rinsed the basar back in the Beis HaShechita. In other words, when the Shochet slaughters the animal, then he already rinses off the dam from the animal, from the basa of the animal. And therefore you don't need a first Hadacha v'ha, but the Brice is talking about a case, the lochalale bei tabacha, that the tabach, the shochet, back in the Beis HaShechita, he did not rinse off the meat from its dam, he just sent it off for salting, and therefore you have a responsibility, an obligation to do the Hadacha before you start the malicha, for the various reasons that we gave.
Gir halal means to rinse?
Chale means to wash, correct.
Okay, thank you.
Now, the Teferis Yaakov that I mentioned many times, Rav Yaakov Gesundheit, he's not happy here because he says that even if the tabach, the shochet and the back in the Beis HaShechita, even if he did in fact wash off the meat, but rather he hasn't taken apart the animal into its various limbs. You know, he hasn't cut up the meat itself. That he doesn't do. That's done way later on after the geschlachten animal is sent off to the various butcher shops or whatever it might be. So he's doing a rechitza now in the Beis HaShechita on the behemah b'shlemus. And therefore, ein darko l'nateach l'netochim ketanim l'fnei rechitza. And it's only later on, after the sale of the meat, that they cut it up into its smaller parts, and meat becomes slices of meat. And at this point, you would have to assume that those slices of the meat are not clean of their dam, because even though he rinsed off the meat after the shechita, that's like a full animal. And he says, "Harei kishachatach as habasal nesachim." When let's say the buyer will now cut up the meat into smaller pieces. Morning. Well, maybe the butcher will do that. Then what you'll be revealing, so to speak, to the naked eye are inner parts of the meat that were not washed initially in the slaughterhouse. So how could that rechisa the shoche possibly be meaningful as a substitute for adocha rishona? And he says that we have a proof from this Gemara to support the Meiri, right? We gave various explanations. Some of you missed it, but the Meiri's explanation as to why you need the Hadoch Rishon is to soften the meat. So the Teferis Yaakov says that this Gemara about the Beis HaShechita, that back in the shechting house, that's where they wash off, they rinse off the animal after the Shechita, that would be sufficient and that would be significant if you hold like the Meiri that the purpose of the Hadacha is to soften up the Basar. And according to Teferis Yaakov, again, you could argue, you know, if you want to Google it, you'll Google it, but the Teferis Yaakov assumes that Dai b'Hadacha shall kol ha-behema b'shlemus. If you want to soften up the meat, all you need is to rinse off the animal, even in its full state, even before you cut it into smaller pieces. You don't have to take each slice of meat from the innards of the animal and rinse it off to soften it. But he says, if we're going to go with the assumption of the Mardechai, who says that the reason why you need the rinsing on the first round is because you want to get rid of all that surface, what we call lahavir, lichluch dam shalachaticha, he says certainly rinsing off the animal b'shlemus is not going to help you for getting rid of the surface level of dam on each part of the animal, the innards, when you slice it up. So again, I'm just suggesting that this Gemara here about Chilulei Beit HaBacha would seem to support the Meiri's understanding of the need and the purpose for the original rinsing. The Rashba writes that there's a fundamental difference between the Rechitza of the Shochet, or the Tabach, and the first Hadacha before Malicha. And he says the following. He says, right after the shechita, the blood is still hot. And therefore, all you need is a very superficial and very quick rechitza. You just rinse it off. You know, it's like the, I don't know if you've ever had a car wash, you know, so first they take off the surface level of dirt. You know, if you go through with the car, you know, it rinses it off. He says, that's okay. To remove that level of dam. However, once you're ready for hadochas habasar before the malicha, he says at that point the dam is no longer hot dam. It now is what he calls dam shehisyavish. It's already somewhat coagulated, and now you need a hadocha. As we described earlier, the hadoch has to be a very rigorous kind of rinsing, a shifshuf gadol. And when the Gemara says the chalei beit habacha, those words in Aramaic indicate a rechitza mu'etes, just a very superficial kind of rechitza. So that, again, according to the Rashba, we really have a serious issue here, how the Gemara would fall back and rely on that, what we call rechitza mu'etes of the tabach, when in fact the hadoch that we need before malicha, once the dam is already dried up, is a more rigorous dam. So apparently, this is what the Nesiva says in his Chavos Das, that the Chiddush of Rav Huna, when he says Molech u'Meidiach, meaning that he omits the first Hadocha, is to tell us that once in the Beit Tabach, back in the Shechting House, they did a Rechitza Mu'etes. Even that Rechitza is meaningful, even though it's only a Rechitza Mu'etes, still it is significant. Why? Because as long as the dam is still Cham, is still alive and, so to speak, and hot, it's liquidy, and it can be removed through a Rechitza Mu'etes. And Rav Huna is implying that when the Braisa requires a Hadocha before Malicha, that's a case where the dam is already misyavish, it already got coagulated, it's already hard and dry, because they didn't do a rechitza back in the base hatavach. And at that point, you need a hadacha, not mu'etes, but a hadacha gemura, yafa yafa. Rav Dimi Minardoi, molach le b'milcha gilal nisa. Now the word Gilal Nisa is a word that refers to Shayish. Shayish is a granite.
Marble.
Excellent, marble. and Rav Dibi is addressing the question, what kind of salt is necessary for Malicha? Is it the table salt that we're used to, which is very thin? Or is it like hard clumps of salt, you know, major thick salt, which is similar to, in the Gemara's comparison, to granite? In Hebrew, it's called melach gas, and that's what they order here in the shluff houses when they talk about barn, you know, telling you about what salt you need here in Hebrew, in Israel. They talk about melech gas. They want you to use thick salt. Now, what's the purpose of thick salt in the context of Malicha? The Gemara says, menapetz le, it really is going to absorb the dam, and as a result, this very thick salt is now saturated with dam. And you really have a serious problem here if you don't remove that dam, because the dam is, as we said before, is very saturated with dam. So you need menapetzlei. Menapetzlei is indicative of some sort of aggressive process by which you get rid of the salt, because the salt is bolea dam. In the case of melach dak, if let's say you would salt the meat with thin salt, and we'll talk about whether that is valid or not, then it's enough to rinse off the salt. You don't have to really shake off the salt in a rigorous way. You don't have to break up the salt because it's very, very thin. So let me read to you a few things from the art scroll here, because he gives us a little bit more of the background here in terms that I think we can understand it. He says the following, that Rav Huna agrees, as we said before, that the meat has to be rinsed before the salting. He didn't mention that because in his locale, it was common practice for the butchers, the tabachim, to wash the meat before selling it to customers. Now, if he uses thick salt, then he has to shake off the blood-saturated salt before he washes the meat after it's salting. So now what we're saying is the following. We spoke about washing off the meat before the salting, then we spoke about salting, and then we spoke about washing the salt off after the salting. Now we're adding another part of the process, and if he's using thick salt, then even before he washes the meat after the salting, he needs to shake off the salt in a very rigorous way. However, when thin salt is used, then the salt dissolves on its own, and it's not necessary to shake it off before washing the meat. But he says in the name of the Ravid, the exact opposite is true. Thin salt will have a tendency to stick to the meat, and it's not removed through a simple rinsing. Therefore, it must be washed and rubbed forcefully. Rav Dimi, therefore, purposely advocates using thick salt, which does not stick to the meat, it doesn't adhere to the meat strongly, so that the salt and the blood that's absorbed in the salt could easily be removed with shaking and a simple rinse. So we have two directions here. One is Rashi, and the other is the Raiva. The Rashi understands that what Rav Dimi is saying is that although thick salt may be more effective, but you got to make sure that you shake down the salt after the salting before you even rinse the meat. The Ravid, on the other hand, says that there's a certain advantage to using thin salt, because in the case of thin salt, although it's going to be dissolved, but on the other hand, because of that dissolving propensity, therefore you need a very aggressive washing and rubbing, he calls it rubbing, shifshuf, in order to get rid of the thin salt. And then the Ravid says that perhaps Rav Dimi purposely uses thick salt, because since thick salt doesn't dissolve and therefore it's not really stuck to the meat the way thin salt is, then adarava, all you need is to remove it with a simple rinse and you've gotten rid of that thick salt, and you don't need shaking. Then he quotes Rav Yehudai Gaon. Rav Yehudai Gaon says that Rav Dimi is teaching that only thick salt can be used for salting. I was wondering if anyone was going to say such a thing, that he's not just advocating he's in favor of using thick salt, but he actually holds that the only salting that would be effective is with thick salt. Thin salt is absorbed by the meat and does not extract the blood. Wow. But we're not finished, Rabosai, because if I were to ask you the following question, does every single piece of meat need salting? You know, you take apart an animal after Shechita, and here we have a statement of Rav Misharshia. Ein machzikim dam b'bnei me'ayim. Now, if I translate this literally, it means that there's no dam, we don't assume that there's any dam, in the kishkis of the animal, which is really fascinating, because it would really indicate that with regard to the kishkis of the animal, we call it here, he calls it in the English, the innards of the animal, then you don't need salting. However, the Ritva says that even so, he doesn't mean it doesn't need salting, but he means that if he cooks it without salting it first, then it's still mutter. And this is all based on the Ritva's understanding of Rashi. Rashi doesn't say it explicitly, but he implies that should one indeed salt the innards prior to cooking, then that would remove a certain amount of dam. But after the fact, it was cooked without salting, the meat is anyway permitted, because we don't assume up front that there's definitely dam in the innards. Now, what are the innards? The Gemara of Marisharshia calls it the me'ayim. What are the me'ayim? So I have here in the Masifta a colored picture of the me'ayim, and I'll pass it around. But first let me read to you the English translation of the innards. Tirgumah, the Gemara explains what these innards are. Number one, akar karkisha ume'aya vehadora dekanta. Okay, now I'm going to show you a picture of it, but let's see the English translation. Karkisha is the rectum. Me'aya is the stomach. And hadora dekanta is the large intestine. And he adds in the footnote here about the kanta that it is the fatty part of the bowel. And although it does have a certain amount of chelev, but that's permissible chelev. And he says for that you have to learn a sugya on daf mem tesom in beis here in Masech Techulin. Now the Gemara doesn't mention kanta, but it really mentions hadra de kanta. What does the word hadra mean? Hadra is a coil, and it refers to the winding intestines which are coiled around the canta. So I'm not sure, but I think what he's saying is that these winding intestines are the colon, and somehow that's beyond the small intestine. So let's take a look at this picture. Let's see where I can put it so that we could all see it. Maybe if you don't want time, I'll move this a little bit away. But he's got a little bit of a picture here. Let's see if you can see it. So this karkashata, which we said was the rectum, is all the way in the back of the cow here in this case. Then he has the reshme ayah. He has dakin, and he has dadur dekanta. So if dadur dekanta is the intestines, if you look carefully at this picture, I would need a magnifying glass, but you see it rolls round and round and round like a coil. Do you have that? By the way, he tells you where the lave is here in the animal, where the covey. Look at the size of the covey, by the way, which we said was saturated with dam. So in the Hebrew, he says the following, that karkashasa is called chalulis, okay, and it doesn't have dam. Me'aya is the me'ayim, which he shows over here. Somehow it's a little bit below the intestines. And then he has the hadra dekanta. Now he makes a note here that the dakim, which again he points to here, but I can't see it too well. Maybe you could see it. The dakim, he says, is... Where am I? I lost my place. Oh. Hasovim es hakanta, kol elu eno becheskes yesh dam, aval kanta atzma, eno bechlal dvarav vehi muchzekes dam. So the kanta itself, which is somewhere inside this whole coil, does need melicha. You have to get rid of the dam, but it's only the what's called hadura or the hadra dekanta that doesn't require melicha. So again, let's see it in the English. The English, he says that hadra dekanta are the large intestines, and in the footnote, he says that the kanta is a certain part of the bowel, and the hadura, which we said is the coil that wraps around the kanta, the bowel, is the winding intestines, and we otherwise call it the colon, and this is beyond the small intestine. But you get the impression that the bowel itself, the kanta itself, might need melicha, because again, he only excludes the hadra dekanta. So Moshe, I'm not telling you that I we've exhausted this sugya. Obviously, if we were learning the laws of melicha, you know, halacha l'maisa, we would need some good, serious demonstrations here as to what exactly are the various anatomical parts of the animal. But I felt that reading the art scroll here would be a little bit helpful. I don't know if you agree with that. Okay, fine. Amar Shmuel. What do you say? Do you have any better pictures over there? I need colored pictures, though.
Yeah. Maybe you can see it.
But it breaks out.
It's very good. Oh, that's a little bit similar to what I have, actually.
It seems to be the same. What? Just
the same
blown up.
The picture. I just blew it up.
Oh. Wow. Because I was wondering, like, how you got so quickly got out of the internet, a very similar picture. Okay. Omar Shmuel, Ein meinichim basar maliach ela al gavei kli menukov. So you want to salt your meat, and where are you going to put the meat? Where is it going to sit while it's being salted? In a vessel that has nekovim, it has holes to it. Because since the purpose of melicha to salt is to extract the blood, then you don't want the blood to gather inside the vessel, because What's going to happen is kovush, which means that if you take a piece of meat and you soak it in this case in dam, it's going to reabsorb the dam. So you really haven't gained all that much. Now I have a footnote here in the Masifta that I wanted to share with you, and he says the following. Chaf Hey, let me just see if I can find it. He says that the lave, the heart, the rea, the lungs, the kaveh, the liver, enam bechlal divrei Rav Misharshia, are not included in the exclusion of Rav Misharshia, right? Rav Misharshia was the one who excluded these parts of the innards of the animal from molicha, because they're not becheskes dam, but those other parts require molicha. And if you recall, the Gemara refers to lev kaved as b'nei me'ayim, but nevertheless, there sometimes the word b'nei me'ayim is a more inclusive terminology, and sometimes it's more exclusive. Here it's more exclusive. It doesn't include the lev, the kaved, the rea. Those parts will require molicha. Now I have a footnote here in the Art Scroll. He says certain authorities, he doesn't tell you right now who they are, maintain that meat, if it was salted in a klisha eno menukov, that's an unperforated vessel, will reabsorb the blood immediately. Immediately. In other words, we always say that it takes a certain amount of time until the dam is polated, until the basar is polated, it's dam through the process of molicha. But here we're saying, according to certain poskim, that even before the meat has spit forward all its dam, nevertheless, it still is already capable of being bolea the dam when it's being salted in a klisha eino menukov. And the reason for that is because since the meat is sitting in the blood, then the fact that it is, he used the word exuding, I guess it means spitting forth its dam, does not prevent the dam from penetrating back into the basar.
Which is contrary to what we had said.
Correct. I guess he's saying that the principle of Aydi the Torah lo bole doesn't apply when you've got dam that is now collecting in the kli, in the bottom of the vessel, and the meat is soaking in that dam. Now, there seems to be a source for these poskim in the Rashba. He too says that the meat reabsorbs the dam immediately. But his understanding is a little bit different. He says that since the meat is considered soaking in the dam, and he says that the dam itself, because of the principle of moliach, hareo kirosech, is considered like hot dam, because the salt generates a certain heat. Again, it's a halachic heat. I don't know if it'll register on your thermometer, but this rosach situation. So it means that it's if the meat is being cooked in its dam. Do you follow what's going on here? The Rashba is combining two elements. He's saying, number one, the soaking is already a kind of a bishul. And number two, the malicha, which is kiroseach, is a kind of a bishul. And now it's as if the meat is being cooked in the dam. And he says that cooking causes the dam to penetrate and to spread throughout the submerged meat, even while the meat is in the process of exuding its own dam. So it's interesting, what we're saying is that Aydi Tarid Lo Bole would be meaningful outside of the framework of Bishul, but inside of a Bishul process, we will not apply the principle of Aydi Tarid Liflo Lo Bole. Now, according to this, we could suggest that only that part of the meat which is actually submerged in the dam will become osur. However, the Rush quotes Rabbeinu Peretz, who maintains that if you salt meat in an unperforated vessel, there is some blood inside the meat that moves to leave the meat, but is blocked from doing so. This blocked blood is in the category of dam evarim sheparash, and is prohibited. And this blocked dam becomes so embedded in the meat that it can no longer come out through salting or roasting. Again, this is the same theory and principle that we've repeated over and over again, that once the dam goes out and goes back in, it's impossible to get it out through salting. Therefore, Abedu Peretz concludes that the entire piece of meat becomes osur, because the meat itself now has within it dam that was poresh, and is osur. So again, just to summarize, Rabbeinu Peretz maintains that the dam inside the basar is going to move around as a result of the salting process, but it never really goes out. It's somehow blocked and trapped inside the piece of meat, so it shifts around from one part of the meat to the other, and therefore the entire piece of meat is osur. And he goes on to say that Shmuel doesn't say that we do not salt meat in an unperforated vessel, but rather we do not place salted meat in an unperforated vessel. Shmuel means to prohibit even placing an already salted a piece of meat that hasn't been washed yet into an unperforated vessel. So if you go with these poskim, then Shmuel means to tell us that lo mi boy, if you're salting the meat in an unperforated vessel, but even if you've already salted the meat, and now before you wash off the meat, you put the meat into an unperforated vessel, that itself is going to generate an iser. Okay, I mean, this is just a footnote that I wanted to share with you.
So it's not the...
Is this mine?
It's not mine. It's yours, yes.
It has to be perforated, or a slant port is enough. Like if it's, because that's also salt.
I guess board. If it's lifted, so the dam will go down.
Most of the salting board, they have grooves in the board, and on a slant, so it's coming down. So
as long as the buster is not soaking in dam, if it's lifted high enough, so that there's enough room for the dam to go down, that's
it's like this slats, like grooves that the dam goes.
But the meat is being held up by these grooves, am I right? And the dam is going between the grooves.
Yeah,
so as long as the meat is above the level of the dam, you're okay. It's no longer soaking in dam.
I think we need to go on a tour.
Yeah.
Rav Sheshes Molach Le Garma Garma. Wow. Rav Sheshes had another chumra. He would take each piece of meat unto itself and salt it. He would never put two pieces of meat together. So the Gemara says, "Trei my time below." Why wouldn't he salt two pieces of meat simultaneously? Mishum de parish mihai ubala lahai. That the let's call it A, meat A is going to be polate its dam, exude its dam, and meat piece of meat number B is going to be below that dam. So the Gemara says, how far is Rav Sheshes is going to take this? If you take his point, its logical conclusion, then Chad Nami, even if he's only going to salt one piece of meat, is Parish Mehai Gisu Bola Mehai Gisu, right? There's going to be a plate from one side of the piece of meat, but the other side of the piece of meat is going to be Bolea, some of that dam that's going out. And we're not choshish for that, because if that be the case, there's no possibility of doing malicha and basar. So why was he choshish from one chaticha to second chaticha? Ella, but rather Gemara concludes, eloshna. It doesn't make a difference whether he's doing malicha on one piece of meat unto itself in a separate vessel, or he's being molech many pieces of meat together. And just like you could be molech one piece of meat, you could be molech more than one piece of meat. So the Gemara basically rejects Rav Sheshes. Now, if we had more time, we would come back to try to defend Rav Sheshes. The Rishonim try to do so. But I would just like to, if possible, we'll see, just to get to the next Mishnah. And then maybe next week we'll fill in a little bit about this Rav Sheshes. and why he wanted to salt each piece of meat separately. Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Hashover Mafrakta Shel Behema Kodem Shetetzei Nafsha Hareze Machbid Es Habosar. Again, a new biological insight of Shmuel, and that is that after you do the Shechita, if you're going to break the Mafrekes, which is the back of the neck, then what happens as a result is that the basar behema becomes very, very heavy. Because what happens is, after the shechita, there's something called anocha. It's as if the animal sort of gives a krechts. And that krechts, that anocha, takes the dam and, in a sense, loosens the dam to some extent. But if he breaks the neck of the animal after the shechita, the animal doesn't even have the ability to make that anocha, and the dam is going to be very, very thick and very heavy, and it's going to be absorbed within the vessels and the meat itself. And v'gozel es habrios umavli adam be'evarim. He's in violation of two different prohibitions, so to speak. First of all, he's stealing. Why? Because when he sells the basar, he sells it by weight. And now he's done something artificially to add to the weight of the animal. And number two, there's an iser v'heter dimension to what he's doing. He's mavliya the dam be'evarim. The dam now becomes very, very thick and penetrates through the evarim. And now the Gemara wants to question what would be if he did such a thing. Would malicha be meaningful? Iboilu, the Gemara has a suffix. Ha'echika'ama, what did Shmuel mean to say here? Did he mean to say that he violates the iser of being machbid as habos, or he adds weight to the meat v'gozel as habrios, and therefore he's going to charge them a higher price because they pay by weight? Mishum de mavli adam evarim, because the dam becomes so heavily attached to the evarim because there was no anoch of the animal. And therefole, what he meant to say is holiday shaper dummy. But if he's not selling the meat, then it's perfectly legitimate. Because who cares if he weighs the animal? If he adds to the weight of the animal, he's not cheating anyone. He's not selling the animal. Shaper dummy, then it's okay. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps Rav Chiya meant to say that there are two different isurim over here when he breaks the mafrekis. Number one, there's an isur gezel because he adds to the weight of the animal. And number two, there's also an Isur Dam, because as a result of being Mafliya the Dam in the Evarim, he won't be able to remove that through Malicha. And therefore, the Didei Nami also, even if he has no intention of selling the meat, it's nevertheless prohibited to break this Mafrekes before the animal actually dies. And that's because of the Isur Dam. And the Gemara comes up with a Teiku, no clear answer to this question. I'll just read very quickly as we go. The language of the English translation over here, he says the following, that according to Shmuel, one who after slaughtering an animal breaks the animal's neck before the soul departs, I guess it takes a second after Shechita until the soul departs, then he makes the meat heavy and the blood becomes absorbed in the limbs of the animal. And he has here a footnote that when an animal is slaughtered, its blood rushes out via the throat. If one breaks the animal's neck prematurely, the animal has no strength to groan, I called it a krechts, and discharge its blood. The blood that was rushing out then remains inside and is absorbed into the animal's meat and limbs.